Good morning, everybody. Hey, it's so great to see all of you guys here. If you're coming in or looking for seats, there are front row seats available here in the balcony. Those guys are taking up 5 seats each because they've got so much space. So if you're cramped, you can head up there. So my name is Ben Brand. I'm one of the pastors here at New Life. I double as an MC sometimes. I'm not doing that right now. This is the sermon. It's happening right now. If you're live tweeting it, make sure you hashtag appropriately. I don't know what the hashtag would be. It is Baptism Sunday. We're coming off of our 4-week We Are They series, and this seemed like a fitting capstone to celebrate, to have folks get baptized, to really just obey, to declare, and to just bask in the meaning. And those are three things that I want to talk about today. And whether you're getting baptized today, or you've been baptized, or you've never been baptized, or you have never even heard of baptism, I hope that they are beneficial to all of us today. The three things I want to hit today are baptism as a recognition of authority, baptism as a declaration of identity, and baptism is an act of abounding with meaning, as an act abounding with meaning. And the sermons are shorter because we're going to hear from all the people getting baptized. So for me to cover all that, I'm going to need the Lord's help. Will you pray with me? Father, I'm so excited for today. I'm excited just for these 10 folks that have decided that they want to publicly declare that they belong to you, that they want to just obey your word, Lord. And God, I pray as we look at your word, as I share from it, Lord, would you move? Would your word speak? Would they convict? Would they encourage? Would they inspire? Lord, I feel not up to the task myself, and so I need your help. Would you move? Would you change lives today? I pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so let's begin. I almost said jump right in. Not the best thing to say at a baptism service, though I do want a new iPhone 7, so be ready to catch the microphone. I will save the microphone, but I may go in at some point. We'll see. Baptism as a recognition of authority, right? Why do we do baptisms at all? It's in God's word. Jesus tells us to do it. It's in the Great Commission from Matthew 28. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So very simply, we do baptism because Jesus told us to. Right? It's right there. We, as a church, we are commanded to baptize. And implicit in that is that new believers, these new disciples, that they would get baptized. And so we're all actually obeying this verse today, which is awesome, right? You see, God's word, it has authority in our lives, okay? It's not just a book that can sit on your shelf. It's not something that you look at every once in a while. God's word is meant to be obeyed. And it's not a list of rules, but it is authoritative in our life. When we read things and the Holy Spirit convicts us of things, we need to listen. And as we get to watch these folks obey, and as we are obeying, the thing that I'm drawn to is I ask myself the question, are there areas in my life where I am resisting the authority of God? Are there things that I'm holding on to because I believe that I know better, that I don't really like what it says in God's word? Or am I allowing it to be my authority? All right, I read something, it's hard. All right, but that's what God's word says. I'm going to study it, make sure I know what, understand it. But I'm going to obey because God's word is authoritative. And so as these folks get baptized, it's a recognition that God is an authority in their lives, the ultimate authority in their lives, that he is their Lord. Okay, moving on. Baptism as a declaration of identity. When I first was thinking through this, we've shared before that baptism, it's an opportunity to declare publicly that you belong to Jesus, that what he did on the cross was for you. And as I thought about it more and more, I just was brought back to Jesus' baptism. It says in Matthew chapter 3, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Right? Now, if that happens to anybody here, we are going to freak out, for one. But it's a reminder that because of what Jesus did on the cross, that is our identity too. That we are beloved, or beloved, however you want to break up the syllables. Right? God is well pleased with us through Christ. That's our identity. That's the declaration of identity. Not that we're saying, yes, I belong to God, but God's saying, no, you belong to me. And we're going to hear some of that in their stories, and it's powerful. I get to cheat and read through all of them ahead of time, so I know. It kind of helps me to not tear up too much. Right? They're beautiful stories, each one of them. It's because God has declared that they are all beloved, that he is pleased with each one of them. And it's because of that, that things like that Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 can be true. "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ," like putting on new clothes. "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Right? It's not that when you become a Christian, when you put on Christ for the very first time, those things don't become untrue. Right? Still male and female. When you get saved, that doesn't change. Right? Jew, Gentile, slave, free. Your social standing, those things, God might change things in your life, and I hope that he does. I know that he does. We see it. We hear slices every week of God moving and transforming lives. But certain things about us don't change. They just don't become the most important thing anymore. The most important thing about our identity is that we belong to God. That through what Jesus did, we are children of God. Do you believe that? Do you bask in it? Do you fight for that when other things try to become the source of your identity? I read a book over the summer, bragging a little bit. called "The Truest Thing About You." Sorry, you guys really like that. David Lomas, he's a pastor in the San Francisco area. He says this: "You will not find your identity in what you have, but in who has you. You will not find your identity in what you do, but in what has been done for you. And you will not find your identity in what you desire, but in who has desired at infinite cost to himself a relationship with you. Christ is your life. He gives you a new identity and will work that new identity out in your life until the day when he appears. On that day, you will finally see clearly as Christ sees you now. You will know as you are known, and you will understand that the truest thing about you, that in Christ God called you his beloved in whom he is well pleased, has been true all along and is now true forever. Believe, trust, base your entire identity and worth on that fact." It's so good, right? And I recommend the book. He breaks down how we do try to build our identity on the things that we do or the things that we desire or the things that we have. And those things aren't a basis of identity. They will all fail. But we can declare our identity in Jesus, and that will never fail. Are you walking in that identity? Or has something else taken hold of who you are trying to be? Okay, let's keep moving. Baptism as an act abounding with meaning. I hope this is kind of obvious by now, right? It's not just some folks coming in. Luckily, it is warm today. We've had cold ones. It's not like a test of who can endure the cold water or warm water for that matter, right? It's abounding with meaning. The reason we do baptism is because it's symbolic of something that has already happened. Each of these folks getting baptized, they have placed their faith in Christ. Right? Baptism doesn't save anything. It's a symbol of it. It's a symbol of Christ's death when they go under the water. And it's symbolic of his resurrection when he comes out. And when you see their faces when they come out, that's like the best. And if you've been to one of our baptisms before, you know that's the best. And we all cheer, unless you guys decide we're not going to today. I don't know. It usually happens. But it's awesome because of the meaning, right? We're reminded of what Christ did. Jesus set up two ordinances in the church. And ordinances, it's kind of a nerdy, churchy word, right? These are things that he ordained because he wanted us to do them. One is baptism, and one is communion, or the Lord's Supper. And both of those things point to the cross. Because that is the center point for meaning in our lives. Right? There are often things that I read in the news that don't make any sense. And I can't say that I always understand them when I filter them through what Jesus has done. But I do know that he's coming back. I do know that everyone here has sinned. Every single one of us. All the people I read about in the news, they've all sinned. A lot of their sins are on the front page. Some of them brag about their sin. But Jesus died so that we don't remain in our sin, so we can be clean. And that is the hope of this world. I know of no other. So that's why when I'm down here, I'm kind of directing stuff a little bit after I get to wear a different hat. I'm not emceeing at all today, but I'm going to help make sure that people go in the water when they're supposed to go in the water. I get weepy because it's so beautiful, because it's symbolic of the cross. It's symbolic of our hope. Are you living in that meaning, in that hope? Romans chapter 6 says this: well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when you're joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. There's so much meaning in this simple act. It's symbolic of our hope. And if you are here today and you have not placed your faith in Christ, I don't know where your hope is. If it is in yourself, I'm sorry to tell you, it will fail. If it's in something else or someone else, that too will fail. Jesus has conquered sin and death, and he invites us into that when we put our faith in him alone. And so as we see people get baptized, the 10 folks, be reminded of what Jesus did. Be excited for them, absolutely, but be reminded of what Jesus did. Okay. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get a chance to just hear some of these stories, hear some of how God has worked. You pray with me. Jesus, the source of our true hope, Lord, we love you. I thank you for what you did on the cross. I thank you that it's not up to me to save myself, Lord, because I fail and I fail, Lord, and I fail by trying to save myself, Lord. Lord, in all of these things, Lord, I thank you that we have the hope of the cross, that we have meaning, and as we see these folks get baptized, as we hear their stories, Lord, we'll be just reminded of how good you are, how glorious you are. I know that you are receiving so much glory today. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.